want to study a little this morning about a topic that I'm sure none of you have ever had a problem with. Those are the easiest sermons to preach, the ones that don't affect anybody, then nobody gets mad. Actually, we're going to talk about criticism today. We're going to talk about how to handle criticism. I dare say that everyone who has ever lived beyond the few moments following birth has been criticized about something. Even small children face criticism, sometimes from their parents, sometimes from their little peers that are their same age. We all face criticism, and it's nothing new. Criticism has been around from the beginning of time, from the beginning of this world. People criticize one another and look down on one another and complain about one another. So much so that the first family had a murder in its midst because of the complications of those relationships. So what do we do when we're criticized? How do we handle that? The scripture that was read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 talks about the fact that even Jesus had to face criticism. The only perfect man that ever lived, and he had to face criticism. Probably God is criticized more than any other single individual in existence. People complain about, why did God do this to me? Why did God let this happen to me? Why did God do this? And they complain and gripe and criticize. They think that if they were in God's place, they could do it better. Of course, we know that's not true. But all of us probably have had some event in our lives where we wondered, why did God let it happen? Why, couldn't He have done it a different way that would have been better? Well, if that's the case with God, who is perfect in every way, then how much more are those of us who are imperfect? Those of us who are flawed human beings, how much more then is it the case that we're going to be criticized, doubted, questioned about the things that we say and do? We certainly will. But the question before us this morning is not whether we'll be criticized. It's what do I do when I am criticized? A natural human reaction is to strike back. They criticize me, so I'm going to criticize them. They said something negative about me, so I'm going to tell all their friends all the bad things I know about them. That's the human tendency, isn't it? But that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. And I know that sometimes we may succumb to that temptation and we may strike back. We may yell and scream or cuss or get angry and tell gossip about them or various things. We may succumb to those temptations. But we need to know how we can handle those things better. What can we do when we are criticized to avoid sin? I think there are several things that we need to think about. First of all, whenever there is a criticism, we need to, of course, go straight to the Lord with it. When someone criticizes us, we need to instantly go to God in prayer. Lay the criticism before Him, and then instead of trying to have this resentment building up in us, we need to leave it with Him. He knows in every situation whether that criticism was fair and just or whether it was uncalled for. He always knows. After we have gone to Him in prayer and left the criticism with Him, though, we do need to do some things for ourselves. We need to consider the fact that we're not alone. We mentioned Hebrews 12:3. It was read to us earlier. Consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You know, a lot of criticism can crush our spirit. It can make us want to give up and quit trying. Because, well, no matter what I do, I can't get it right. Whatever I do, it's not good enough, so I'm just going to quit trying. And sometimes we get that attitude. We want to just give up because we can't do it to someone's specifications. We can't do it well enough to please a certain person, and so we just won't try at all. Well, we know that's not the right response, but we still have that response sometimes anyway. And we need to realize that even Jesus faced those things, and He had that contradiction, but He didn't give up. He pressed on to the end. You think about the things they said about Him. Accused Him of casting out demons by the power of the devil. Accused Him of being possessed by a devil. Accused Him of being a drunkard and a glutton. Accused Him of being a false prophet. Accused Him of all kinds of things that weren't true. Wouldn't accept when He tried to tell them the truth. And they just criticized Him all the more. Well, who do you think you are to tell us? And so on and so forth. And He's dealt with all of that. And yet even to the end, He didn't give up. He continued on and fulfilled His mission of dying on the cross for us. And He set an example for us that we continue on our mission. And the first thing that we have to remember any time we face a criticism is that we're not alone. The second thing that we have to remember when we face a criticism is that we, whether it's true or not, have to continue to fulfill our mission. We have to remember what our mission is. Our mission is not to please people. Now, if people like us, good, fine. That's wonderful if that can happen. But our mission on this earth is to be faithful to God and to please God. And too many times, the people who struggle the most with criticism are those of us who are trying to please other people. Barnum once said there's a fool born every minute. Or maybe every second. Huh? Probably every second nowadays. But we also were told by those old guys, you know, they had some things that they knew about human nature. And we were told that you can fool some of the people all of the time. And all of the people some of the time. But you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Well, when it comes to trying to please people, there's a variation on that. You can't please any of the people all of the time. And you can't please some people any time. So we need to quit trying to make that our life's goal. And remember that our life's goal is to please God. And we can be pleasing to God. His standards don't change. The difficult thing about people is they're fickle. The thing that pleased them yesterday might make them mad tomorrow. You've seen that. You say something to somebody one day and they're friendly and happy about it. You say the same thing next day. What do you mean by that? Well, it's the same thing I said to you yesterday. Yesterday, you didn't get upset about it. We can't please people. Am I here to please God, or am I here to please people? If I'm here to please men, then I won't be the servant of God that I ought to be. So when we take criticism from people, we need to remember that our mission is not to please those people. Once we remember that, then, we can more objectively look at the criticism. What about that criticism? Because we are going to face criticism. Some people just take the view, well, I don't care what anybody says. I'm just going to ignore it all. Well, those people just blunder on down life's pathway and make all sorts of mistakes because when somebody tries to tell them something that would help them, they don't listen. Other people, on the other hand, take every criticism, no matter how ridiculous it is, and they take it to heart and they're miserable over it for a week or a month or a year or the rest of their lives. Well, neither of those extremes is healthy. So we've got to learn to find the middle ground where we can take the criticism for what it's worth. Some criticism is constructive and some criticism is destructive. And we need to learn to recognize the difference. But once we realize that our focus must be on pleasing God, then we can think more clearly. Okay, what do I do about this criticism? We need to remember, just, you know, we talked about studying the Bible, and we talked about studying the Bible and learning about the Bible. We need to remember who said it. Well, the same thing's true with criticism. Well, who said it? If my worst enemy criticizes me, well, that's to be expected. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it might not be true. If my best friend, who's never criticized me before in my whole life, criticizes me, though, I think, well, that person's never criticized me about anything before. Why are they criticizing me about this? If someone who's worldly and sinful criticizes me about being a goody-two-shoes, well, you know, I hope so. If one of my fellow Christians criticizes me about being too worldly, that may be something I need to take to heart. So we need to consider who is saying it. Is this person... What biases are they bringing to the table? Do they hate me? Have they hated me all along and they just like to say mean things to me? Or is this somebody who loves me and cares about me and wants to help me? Are they angry right now when they're saying it? Or are they saying it in a calm, very well-mannered way? You know, there are some criticisms that can be thrown out in such a cruel and hateful and angry way that you know that the person is just saying something, the first thing that came to their mind, and they're hot-headed at the time. And you know they don't probably don't even really mean it. If you sit down, they, well, I know that's not true. I was just mad, and I wanted to say something to hurt you. But then, on another occasion, somebody may sit down with us and say, look, I've seen, noticed this for a long time. You need, this is the problem, and I'm really concerned about that. So we need to see who's speaking and how they're bringing that criticism to us. That makes a big difference sometimes. Because we understand the bias of that speaker and where they're coming from. One of the things that we have to remember always is whatever they're criticizing us about, there's probably something worse in our lives that they don't know about. We need to remember that we are sinful. We are flawed human beings. And there are corrections that we do need to make in our life. And when we remember that, then we may not take it so hard the time somebody does point out one of those things that we can correct. The worst thing about criticism is when someone criticizes but doesn't give any advice on how to correct the problem. You know, if I've got, and this is a ridiculous example, but I'd rather use this than something more realistic. But if I've got serious acne problems, I've got pimples all over my face, and somebody just criticizes me all the time because I got pimples all over my face, but they never say anything to me about how to help the problem, well, that criticism isn't going to be very helpful to me. I know I've got pimples all over my face if I ever look in the mirror. But what good does it do for you to tell me that? And they may even say, well, you got pimples, or you need to do something about it. Well, what can I do about it? If I don't know. Now, on the other hand, if somebody says, you know, I used to have pimples all over my face like that too, and I went and got this particular medication or this cream or whatever put on, and well, mine went away. You might want to try that. Well, that's a little better criticism then, because at least they've given us a possible solution to the problem. And so when we do come to a point in our life where we are forced to come up with a criticism for someone, and sometimes we are forced to critique someone, to criticize an action, We need to have a solution in mind. Because just criticizing just runs somebody down. And it won't ever help build them up and edify them. And as Christians, we need to be edifying each other, not destroying each other. So we need to realize that we are sinful and that we do make mistakes, that we do need help. And if someone offers that criticism and offers some help, then we need to accept that. We need also to remember that a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger, Proverbs 15:1. You know, our natural reaction is to retaliate and to say something mean and ugly back. And if we do that, then their natural reaction is going to be to say something even uglier and meaner right back at us, and back and forth and back and forth, and it'll escalate to the point we wind up hurting each other, not only emotionally, but physically and spiritually as well. We need to remember that a soft answer turns away wrath. When we're criticized, one of the best responses that we can have is to say, I'll consider that and see what I can do about it. Now, it may be that it's something we can't do anything about, but we still need to consider it and see what we can do about it. You know, I remember one preacher who was talking about criticism. He said one time somebody criticized him because of the color of his eyes. And he said, well, what can I do about that? I can't change the color of my eyes. Well, we've probably all been there, maybe not particularly the color of our eyes, but we've had somebody criticize us about something that we couldn't change, that we couldn't control. Do we remember the prayer that is often associated with Alcoholics Anonymous and various other addiction programs, the Serenity Prayer? Lord, help me to have the courage to change the things that I can. I went blank on it. I was going to quote it. The courage, I got it out of order is what I did. But basically tell us that to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Don't you love that when your mind goes blank? Don't y'all criticize me about that after the service is over, please. I know it happened. But that's the thing we have to do. We do have to accept that there are some things we can't change. And when we understand that, and accept that, then we won't allow those criticisms about those things to affect us so deeply. But then to have the courage to change the things we can. When somebody does approach us about something, and it is something that needs to be changed, that should be done differently, then to have the courage to admit, you know, I was doing that wrong, and I'm going to try to do better at that. And recognizing, of course, that none of these changes are going to happen overnight. It does take us time to break old habits and to start new habits. But we will be willing to make the effort to try to make our lives better. Not to please people, but to be more pleasing to God. And that's always the goal behind it. But we need the wisdom to know the difference between the things we can change and the things we can't. Some people have driven themselves crazy, worrying over the things that they can't change. And that's not healthy mentally or physically for us to do that. But then we face the criticism. And if the criticism is true, if we've made a mistake or if we've committed a sin, then we need to humbly and frankly confess our sin to God and to anyone who was injured in the process, and determined to do better, to repent of that and turn away from it. If it was just a mistake, something that we could have done a better way, but not necessarily something that was sinful, then we need to say, you know, I'm going to try to do a better job of that next time. I'm not going to make the same mistakes in the future. And we need to learn again and be reminded again that we are sinful people and that we need God's grace. When we realize that we need His grace and mercy, it will help us also to be less critical of others, realizing that they too need His grace and mercy. Jesus said, if you forgive those who have sinned against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you won't forgive those who have sinned against you, then your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Sometimes we have a double standard. We expect everyone to overlook all of our faults, but we expect them to be perfect. And that won't work. We have to recognize if I've got faults, well, you've got faults, we've all got faults. We have to recognize that and be willing to forgive each other those things, be long-suffering and patient with each other over those things, and give that those criticisms that need to be given in a way that will encourage a better result in the end. Then, and this may be the hardest one of all, the last thing we need to do, after we have taken it to the Lord, after we have examined the person who criticized, and after we've examined the criticism and decided what changes, if any, need to be made or can be made as a result of it, after we've done all of that, then we need to do as Paul did, forget those things which are behind and press on. But that's the hardest part, isn't it? When we've been criticized about something, it is so easy to hold that in our hearts and to let it fester there and to become bitter and angry and critical of others and defensive. You know, once I've been criticized about a particular thing, the next time somebody approaches me to talk to me about that thing, I'm going to be even more defensive about that if I'm not careful. You know, well, you're always criticizing me about the same thing. Well, maybe if a lot of people are criticizing me about the same thing, it's because there's something there I need to work on. I need to try. Now, it may be that I'm doing the best I can do. And if I've done the best I can do, or if it's something that I can't change or can't control, you know, somebody criticizes me about the weather, there's not much I can do about the weather. If I'm the weatherman even, and somebody criticizes me about the weather, well, I just tell you what the weather is. I can't change it. That's the way those things go. But if I know that I'm doing the best that I can to please God, and that the criticism that's being given is unjust and unfair, as some of those criticisms that were against Christ were, some of the criticisms that Paul faced. We talked about Paul a little bit this morning in class with him going to Corinth, and boy, they everywhere he went, people were upset at the teaching. He was teaching the truth, but they were upset about it. There are going to be people who are not going to get along with us. That's why the Bible tells us, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. It is not possible for you to make somebody like you, to make somebody else get along with you. You can't do it. And it will just destroy you if you spend your life trying. So once we forget those things that are behind and press on, trying to please God with every bit of our power and strength, we can do it if we will get those old things out of our mind and quit dwelling on them. That's the hardest thing to do. Paul tells us one hint in Philippians chapter 4 as to how to do that. Because all of us are going to have times when negative things pop up. We remember some cruel, mean-spirited thing that somebody said. We remember some sinful thing that we did. We remember all sorts of bad from our past. That's going to happen from time to time. But the question is, do I just sit around and dwell on it then? Or do I put it from my mind and think on better things? Philippians 4 and verse 8, Paul tells us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When those negative thoughts come to our mind, we need to make a conscious effort to push them out with good thoughts. The devil, see, will try to use our past against us. But we're not alone. Noah got drunk, the Bible says. David killed a man, the Bible says. Paul persecuted the church. And yet, when we think of men who were faithful to God, we often think of Noah and David and Paul. Well, how is that? Because they didn't allow the bad things that happened in their life to control them and to make them continue to live a life like that. They overcame those things. Well, that's what Paul tells us how. We consciously make an effort to put those bad things behind us, to put the good things into our mind. Think about the good things. Did Paul deny having been the one who persecuted the church? No, he never denied it. But he didn't sit around all day and night dwelling on it. He got busy doing the work that the Lord had for him to do and being faithful to God now. He knew he couldn't change the past. We can't change the past. All of us have done things in our past that we are not proud of. I hope we're not proud of them anyway. If we're still proud of them, then we have a problem that we need to correct. But we've all done things that we're not proud of, that we're ashamed of. Some things that we wish nobody else in the world even knew about. Of course, sometimes people do know about those things too, don't they? But if I live back there and dwell on those things, I'm going to be miserable. And I'm going to be unable to do what God wants me to do today. I've got to overcome those things. When Satan tries to use those things against me, and he will, he'll bring those things up to you, throw it in your face. He'll tempt you with those thoughts. Well, this is what, you know what you used to be? You know what, you remember what you did? Then we need to remind the devil. Yeah, used to be. Did. But not anymore. Sometimes people will criticize you for your past. Ask the political candidates. You know, people dig back 30, 40, 50 years looking for dirt on them. I don't know about you, but I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, much less 30, 40, 50 years ago. And yet, sometimes that's the things that we criticize people about, or that others criticize us about who we used to be. But we've got to quit being that person. We've got to put on that new man as a Christian. We've got to grow in Christ. We've got to put on good works so that when somebody does criticize us about the things that we used to do, it'll be a shame to them because everybody who knows us now knows that's not who that person is anymore. But I hope that these things will help us as we face criticism in the future, because we all will. I dare say many of us will face some sort of criticism before the day's out today. Someone will criticize us. How will we respond? I hope that we'll learn from these things and respond in the way that God wants us to respond. Allow that criticism to force you closer to God. Allow that criticism to make it a determination in your mind to do what God wants you to do. To make even more effort to please Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it doesn't matter what sins you've committed in your life, if you're willing to repent of them, if you're willing to confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and willing to submit to be baptized to wash those sins away, you can become a Christian today. If you're here and you are a Christian, perhaps you let criticism get you down so that you're not doing what you should for God and for Christ. Perhaps you have been guilty of being one of those who criticized others and destroyed them rather than helping to build them up. If you have any need to respond to the invitation at this time, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.